The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the authors. Any content provided by our bloggers or authors are of their opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, municipality, individual, or anyone or anything.
He's a surgeon. He's a 100-ton boat captain. He's a lieutenant on Seaside Heights Beach Patrol in New Jersey. He's a member of the Coast Guard Auxiliary. He's Dr. Michael Ketchmar. Need answers to your medical questions? We have them. Listen in to hear latest on medical topics related to all that and more.
For that. Hello, everyone. This is
City of Refuge.
Yeah, this is Dr. Michael Ketchmar. How's everyone today? This is Lifeguarding with Dr. Michael Ketchmar. Today's date is September the 20th, year of our Lord, 2022. And we have Tyler here. Say hello, Tyler. Tyler, you look like you kind of dressed warm for today.
I'm chilling. You know, chilling. Yesterday was National Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Oh, it is? Okay. Yeah.
Let me hear your best pirate impression.
I don't have...
You got a pirate impression, Ketchmar?
I don't have much.
Ahoy, mateys.
We have Sean here.
Hello.
So
we're all pirates in here.
There was a when I used to go down to the Caribbean a lot, there was this place in Tortola, and there was this guy. He goes all around the Caribbean. He has a boat, and him and his wife, they sail around, and he sings and he does pirate jokes and stuff like that, you know. And he's like so corny, but everybody's drunk, and he's not. I wouldn't say he's that good, but he's great. You know, you're away, you're on vacation, and he'd be like, you know, what's the most favorite letter in the alphabet for a pirate?
R.
You know, everybody's like, ah!
is his boat like a little pirate boat?
But he goes all around to these different places and does these pirate things, you know, and it's pretty neat. So, I don't know if he's still around. You know, when Irma hit the Caribbean, it just destroyed everything. I got to get rid of my phone here.
What do you guys think it is about pirates that people are so drawn to, Sean?
They're free. They were, you know, like
freedom.
Didn't really live by any rules, supposedly. But
you know what? You know what's interesting about the pirates? Yeah, it seems like it's free, and they were, you know, washbuckles and all.
Wash your buckles.
But they weren't the nice people. But they kind of we talked about this one time before. They kind of ran a democracy, you know.
Yeah, so the way they operated was noble in some ways, but also not really.
I don't know about that.
Well, the really cool thing about that was, and like we have talked about this before, but how pirates don't have like, it's not like a dictatorship, you know. If a crew is unhappy with how a pirate's going about his business, they can vote him out and vote in a new pirate captain. I say pirate the whole time.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the whole idea, to me, what pirate envisions is that this freedom, you know? And when I talk about this guy down in Caribbean, he used to sail around. There was another group. There was about, I would say, 6-7 girls, and they were in their 20s. Early 20s, and they would sail, and they just the girls, and they would sail again around the island chains down the Caribbean, and you know, they'd be in Tortola, maybe St. Thomas, they go to St. Martin, you know, St. Barts, well, and it's not that far, and they would come to these parties, like in Tortola, they would have a full moon party, and this was every full moon. They had other parties, but let's just say they were coordinated to make the full moon party there, and it might be a couple thousand people at the full moon party. There are people who are sailing all around with their boats. They come to this one spot in Tortola, and these girls would show up, and what they would do is they would put on a show, and they would like have one where they would take a rope or a line and put it between two trees, only about a foot off the ground, and they would tight walk it, you know, like walk it. And they would try to get people from the audience to do it. And, of course, they would do that, and they would juggle. Or they would have fire, you know, and, like, two ends of a stick, and they would swing it around. And then they would give it to somebody in the audience. And, of course, that always wound up. Their hair was burning, and, you know, it's like. But it was – they made a lot of money. They would put the pot out for tips, and they would clean up. And people would take pictures with them. They kind of dressed up as pirates, but not, like, heavy duty. And, then, you know, of course, it didn't hurt that they were smoking hot girls. And I thought they were pretty neat because they were unbelievable sailors. I heard that they were really good. I mean, you had to be decent to sail around there. You know, it's not – there's some days it's pretty – some pretty nasty ocean.
I think we should all dress up like pirates on Halloween.
I'm about it.
For a show.
Well
– Would you wear an eye patch?
Yeah. Down in the Caribbean, they – like when you do charters – it's like almost inevitably you're going to have one in your charter that, you know, they want to dress up as pirates. And I remember there's this boat, and it's hard for me to explain. We'll show this stuff down the road, but it's being called Willie T. It's about 100-foot boat that's in the middle of this one bay, and it's a restaurant and bar. And they have two floors, and the one up top, you dive off. People jump off, and they go into the water, and they come around. But so there's maybe like 400 or 500 boats all anchored around it. And you'd always, people are on charters, and there's always somebody where, you know, getting dressed up, like the whole charter might be 8-9 people on a boat or 6 people. They all dress up. And I remember we were going on there. I had Ava with me and you know, Virginia and her daughters. And these people were leaving. They're done for the night, and they gave us all their pirate stuff. I mean, they had really nice stuff. So if people really take it serious.
You know? You have pirate stuff?
Well, I mean, they gave, you know, it's like fake. I mean, a sword.
You know, do you still have like a costume?
Nah, I don't think so. But I tell you what.
Good thing the Spirit Halloweens are starting to open back up.
Yeah, I tell you. Out of nowhere, like some abandoned building every year.
The second a building goes abandoned, Spirit Halloween's just like, we're in there.
Well, I'll give you this one. Well, my buddy who had the boat, it was called Avalon. Now, this is a high-end charter boat. And they have what's called a boat show. And all of the people who charter boats, they would have them anchored up there. And the brokers from all around the world would come fly in there and check your boat out. And you would show them what kind of food you have, what kind of toys you have on the boat, you know, the boat. So we, because Avalon, we did the whole thing with, you know, Avalon is a English, you know, mythical, I don't know, whatever. And
I have no idea what Avalon
is. I thought
that's
a town north of us.
No, what's that's Avalon. That, you know, this is, you have to look it up.
Oh, that's Avon by the... No, yeah, there's Avalon. Avalon.
Yeah, but this is, so we were dressed up in these outfits.
Look up in Avalon.
And I don't remember exactly, it was you know, who belonged to. But we dressed up there. So, and there was a lot of people dressed up. So people would be dressed up in all different kind of things. And, you know, maybe the boat will have down there.
Here you go. It's like some kind of like Asgard looking place.
Yeah, ooh. It's a mythical. Yeah. So we dressed up in that kind of period dress.
Mm. Avalon. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think is the greatest pirate movie made of all time?
I mean, I'd have to research that. Some of the older ones are way better.
They're better than Dead Man, like the new Pirates of the Caribbean.
My answer would be the Goonies.
You counting the Goonies?
Why would that not be a pirate movie?
There's not one living pirate in the whole film.
No. Yeah, but it's completely centered around the story of a pirate
and a treasure hunt.
And it's got everything.
Yeah, but
the Goonies is an amazing.
You know what? Before you answer that, you got to look at all the movies that are out there. There's one Mutiny on a, and it's even not a pirate, but Mutiny on a Bounty was kind of the one where there's a lot of really really good movies. There's one with Burt Lancaster, I think. I have to go really back, but there's some really good movies. I know the Caribbean of the Sea with Johnny Depp is pretty good.
Mutiny on the Bounty.
Mutiny on a Bounty.
Let's see this one.
And then after this, let's look up 10 best pirate
movies. Right, oh, yeah. This one. This looks old school right here.
Oh, yeah. That was, you know.
Is that Paul Newman?
No. That's...
Don't tell me. That's the guy. He's like the guy.
Brando.
Brando, yeah. Brando. You know, there's a rumor that him and Richard Pryor used to...
I heard that.
Did you know that?
No. Yeah, but I could tell you, Mutiny on a Bounty. It's not really pirate, but it's pretty wild. It's been written, and there's been multiple movies. But there's some really good pirate movies that are really
crazy. Top 10 pirate movies. I like old movie posters. Like they just look like there was just so much more care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then you see what were the catch? You might know this. The paintings that they used to use for backgrounds in movies. What were those called?
Backgrounds? What do you mean?
Like say you had like a big like mountain scene that right. You were having like a helicopter fly over or something. Like, the mountain scene itself would just be a painting that then they would like superimpose.
But I tell you what, you know, if you really want to see how even back then they were so good. You look at Wizard of the Oz. Wizard of the Oz was made in like, I don't know, the 30s. And how they did that, right? They did overlines. I mean, they did all kinds of stuff. But getting back to these movies with the Caribbean and pirates, there's so many out there. And I wouldn't just go by, you know, the modern one. You guys got to really look at some of the old movies.
A matte painting.
I mean, Treasure Island.
Treasure Island. Let's see. We got a list of the
Muppets,
top 10.
Muppet Pirate movie. I've seen that. I don't know what it's called.
Why do we have Aegon Targaryen? The Crimson Pirate. I've never heard of that one. Have you?
No, that one I don't know. Keep going. Let me see.
The Seahawk?
Yes, that one.
You've seen that one?
Yeah, that guy there, I can't think of his name, but that's a great movie.
That's Captain Hook?
No. That's another
Peter
one.
Pan.
That's Peter Pan?
Yeah. Keep going. There's some really, let me see.
Treasure Island. That's there a good go. One. Shout out Sean for
yeah,
the
that's,
Treasure
that's
Island.
Yeah, that's a classical, Treasure Island. And that Tortola, supposedly the island there is
the Treasure Island.
Yeah, in British Virgin Islands.
Wow! Fun fact: Treasure Island was Disney's very first completely live action film.
Wow!
Yeah. Produced in 1950.
Yeah.
Did you
Phillips? Hear the theory?
That is a pirate movie.
That is definitely a pirate.
I tell
movie.
You what, that's movie. That's a good movie.
I haven't seen Captain.
Listen. I don't like Hank's politics, but I tell you what. You watch that movie,
like
right?
Chet Hanks.
No. But I tell you what,
Hot
I gotta
Boy
tell
Summer,
you,
was that his song? Hot Boy Summer.
No,
or Fuck but, Boy Summer.
No, White Boy Summer.
White Boy Summer.
you watch this movie, right? And when he gets back to the ship, like the emotion that builds in him, you know, scared and angry and everything. When they rescue him and they put him on the, I guess it's a Navy ship, and he's talking to the doctor. He's like, he's got this emotion. It's amazing. I'm telling you right now, you feel it. You almost feel like you're going to, like how you feel like, you know, you almost died and then you got saved and the emotion that, you know, you're of being happy and it's just amazing. I tell you what, I got to give him a lot of credit. That was one of the best movies I've ever seen. The emotion, the acting,
he was one of those dudes that was hanging out with Epstein and drinking adrenochrome.
Oh, I heard that. On the island?
Do you know about the adrenochrome?
No, but I could only imagine.
So, allegedly, hard allegedly, we're going like into a deep
hole. Be careful
now.
You might get what do you call it?
We're not getting flagged for adrenochrome.
You've gotten us flagged, so it's my turn to get us flagged. Yeah. No, so the story goes, and this comes from like the conspiracy nuts, that what they were doing on Epstein's island was they would take these kids, or just in general, at the place like...
Where Hillary Clinton and the pizzas...
Yeah, like any of these like elite, like super rich, kind of like weird gatherings they have. What they say, what they would do is they would take these children and like
scare
the living shit out of them to the point where their body is flooded with adrenaline, and then go through their eyeball and as they're alive, extract adrenaline straight out of their pineal gland, and then
people young forever.
And then they inject that. You know what?
I could, I don't believe that, but I tell you what, I do believe these guys were banging young girls. I don't know about Tom Hanks, you know, what they were doing here. But
as a doctor,
right?
Would there be any medical benefit to like mainlining adrenaline
You could get epinephrine. No, it's just you'll have a heart attack. That's stupid. Let's go. Show me the rest of it. Yeah, you guys get off. Just keep going here. I tell you what, that's a great movie though, Captain Phil. Let's stay on. And I don't want to talk about some
a high wind in Jamaica. What's this?
That's another good movie. Now that I'm remembering, it's the key is the actors in there. Keep going. That's,
scroll down, let me see.
What's his name? Slow down. Let me look at his name there.
Oh, Hook is a great movie.
Yeah. Richard Hughes novel. I can't think of it. No. So keep going. The Hook is a good one.
Have you seen with Robin Williams?
Yeah. Have you seen this,
Tyler?
That's a good kid one, kind of.
This is a great kid movie.
Yeah, The Hook is good. That's another good one.
The Hook.
It's grown up Peter Pan.
But I thought Peter Pan's thing is he doesn't grow up.
So this is like Peter Pan 2, basically, and he comes back. And all the Lost Boys are lost without him. Captain Hook took over. Like
that's ironic, isn't it? The Lost Boys being actually lost.
Yeah. I mean, they were always the Lost Boys.
Let's see what else you got there.
Would you rather be Peter Pan or Captain Hook? Minus the whole getting eaten by a crocodile part.
I think it kind of alludes to that you want to be Hook and you don't want to be Peter Pan. No, Hook is the guy, the bad guy that doesn't want to let the
eventually
kids.
Peter Pan has to grow up. But the thing is,
Hook is the guy that wants kids to grow up too quick. It's like the foil.
Yeah.
So you want to find the balance.
Yeah.
Foil.
Is that it?
Yo, nice literary term, Sean.
Is that it?
Let's go. The Buccaneer.
That sounds like a good movie.
Yeah. I know these people. I can't think of his name. He's another good one. That's another good. These are unbelievable actors. This one I don't know anything. Why is that?
I told you. You've never seen The Goonies?
No, but I don't.
Get out of here.
Are you guys?
Seriously?
No, I never saw that one.
Catch. You got some homework to do this week.
That one I haven't seen.
I'll watch whatever black and white bullshit you recommend for me.
You gotta watch The Goonies.
You can watch The Goonies.
Catch. Goonies Never Say Die.
The aptly named Pirates.
Yeah.
Yeah, Goonies Never Say Die. There's a lot of good life lessons in that movie.
Captain Blood. You know, that's a good one. Yeah. Ooh, that's a good, good.
Here's the deal.
That's
Sean
an old
I,
one.
I will watch Sean this and movie. I will watch Captain Blood, but you have to watch the Goonies.
Tell me what year that is. Get rid of this thing on the bottom. 1935.
Sheesh.
That's Earl Flynn. Old. Earl Flynn was like, he was the big shot back then. That was Earl Flynn.
Flynn sounds like a pirate's name, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's a real pirate's name.
Yeah.
The Black Swan.
Yes.
Now, it's a ballet movie. I've seen this.
I saw this on the list before we pulled it up. I'm like, The Black Swan is definitely not a pirate movie.
No, this is a different one. Yeah, this is a different one. What year is that? 42.
42. Wow.
Oh, an Academy Award that no longer exists today. Best Cinematography Color. So cinematography used to be split into black and white and color.
Yeah.
They should bring that back. Pirates of the Caribbean. This movie, say what you want about the rest of them, but this movie.
I think the second one's the best.
Man, I saw this movie in the theaters when it first came out.
Yeah,
but I was like absolutely blown away. It was like the whole, it was amazing. Amazing. The whole, it was terrifying, but also like wildly entertaining.
Kashmir, did you see all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies?
Yeah.
I
was actually
Jones.
Down where they were all filmed. Not when they were filming there, but I sailed all those areas. Not all of them, but most of them. Where they were filmed.
They got all the good myths, Davy Jones, Calypso, the Kraken,
yeah,
the gold, pirate gold, curses, undead pirates. The
Black Spot.
It's the perfect pirate movie.
It's great.
Yeah. And now we have the best war movies.
So let's go. Let's go. Let's do some lifeguarding stuff so we could. I want to just talk about this one kid who. With the pirates, I think it's the free spirit. I love it.
For sure.
I think it's really good. And. Which one is this now here?
All right, so we have junior lifeguard helps save pilot after small plane crashes into ocean. Should we play this video or?
No, well, mute it if you play it. Mute it.
Okay, we'll see.
X-nay the snout, the sound snay.
If it even comes up. Yeah, mute it. You got to mute it, yeah.
We're good.
So junior lifeguard helps save pilot after small
plane. So yeah, plane hits.
So yeah, this has happened
around our beach. Whoa. So that was a hard hit.
That was like a nosedive almost.
Yeah, let Sean explain what's happening on the screen.
Yeah, so we're looking at like 100 yards out. The plane just went down, still floating, but definitely going down. The crash occurred during the 2022, what was that say? Junior lifeguard tournament? Oh, I think we heard about this.
Yeah.
Rushed towards the plane to help. When he got on my board, he had a small cut in his head. I kept asking him, "Hello, sir, are you okay?" So this kid was trained right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of these planes. I think this was a banner plane. We have them around here, and I've seen three crashes, and all pilots got away okay. We had one in Seaside Heights, where the bay is. There's that little island back there. They used to drop the banners there. And or pick them up and drop them off. They would fly in and grab it. And anyway, a plane crashed there. And then a few years ago, a female pilot, had engine problems. She dropped her banner and she landed right in the wash, and maybe right on the beach actually. She didn't get hurt at all. And then there was another one, same thing. They crash landed, but none of them got hurt. Those planes go real small. They have what's called low stall speeds, like 25 miles an hour. I mean, they could go that slow before they crash. Mm. But that one hit pretty hard. A lot of these
I have an issue with the title of this article.
Why?
Why?
Because it says the kid helped out with the rescue. All he did was ask him if he was okay.
Well, he was like,
he took the board out there. He took the board and got him out. Yeah, he did.
Oh, when he got up, you're right.
Yeah.
I apologize to you, Jake Schaffer.
No, my bad. No. Once he got him on the board and everything. I mean, that plane was sitting there. He had to get him out of the plane. You know, I don't know how much he had to drag him out. It doesn't really say that, but he did a good job getting.
We should ask Jerry Faulkner about that.
He's in Florida. This is California.
And in San Diego, they're actually just starting their lifeguard tryouts for the 2023 season. Guess what the starting salary is for a
yearly, hourly?
Yeah, take this off.
Coincides with their fire department, but. What do you think their starting wage starts with to be a San Diego lifeguard?
$70,000.
No, I'm talking hourly pay.
$35,000.
I'd say $50,000.
Okay, you guys know the game, but you weren't close. It starts out at $22, and it goes up like Starting pay 29. So anyone from 22 to 29
starting,
you get, you can be there your first year making $30 an hour.
And then what does it go up to?
It doesn't say, but we've looked into it prior shows and $300,000 for the year.
Well, that's part time.
Class trip to San Diego.
See, you have a lot of part time lifeguards, and then if you make it to the full time, which is very, you know, I'm very assume very difficult, that's where you get the big money, you know.
Yeah.
And like in Florida, I think Jerry was telling us they're under the fire department. So it's just like being a fireman or a police officer. So it's commensurate with their salary. I don't know what their salaries are down there, but I mean, you know, here it could be 60 to 100 grand. I think state troopers in New Jersey start out around 60-70 grand. And then, you know, that's starting. Plus all your benefits, you know, and then you go from there.
Oh yeah, no, we're just advocating for all the people to get paid.
Well, we should definitely be getting paid more money. And all
lifeguards. Let's go.
Not socialism. I mean, it's just, you know, it's listen, they're having a hard time.
Karl Marx was onto something.
No, he wasn't capitalist. He wanted to have the state. See, we could get into this whole thing, but that's state run. That'll be you work for the state. You don't get paid.
Yeah, I just came up with a new game.
You
just
don't get paid.
Try to get Catchmar to go on a rant by saying as little words as possible.
You know,
Marxism.
You guys get confused. Yeah, that's
communism
just the opposite.
Communism is the way.
Well, right now, I was talking about a little politics. I was reading, so they're, when they talk about all these news articles and on the internet, they're like, the right is jeopardizing democracy. What they're really saying is they're jeopardizing, if you really look into it and understand what they're pushing, you're jeopardizing, the people on the right are jeopardizing the left's the democratic socialism. It's not communism yet, but it's democratic socialism. And so we get confused. The problem is with a lot of things that people talk about, they don't look at the definitions and understand. There's a big difference between democratic socialism and social democracy. Big difference. They're similar, but there is differences in. But bottom line is, if you read Marx, Karl Marx, and what you do is you start with social. Your ideal is to get rid of capitalism. Now, in the pure communist, there's no capitalism. Unless it's in China model right now, you have state capitalism. So the state runs it.
And the state owns all the businesses, basically.
Right. So what a lot of people like AOC, you know, they're more like communist light.
Do you think that there's like a sweet spot that does exist? We're getting to a point in the future where we know for a fact a lot of jobs are going to just be poof done by automation, right? Even the shit Sean and I want to do, like writing. They already have AIs that scare the shit out of me.
Oh, my God.
That make me, like, feel like I'm wasting my time.
They do incredible art, too. Yeah, like actual physical.
Dude, I saw, because even, like, 6 months ago, the AI art, I was like, but, like, it still looks weird and you can't really tell what it is. Dude, I saw one today that looked like someone, like, made and rendered it in, like, Unreal Engine. And it's, like,
yeah, but I'll tell you what.
My point being, so many jobs, delivery, any type of creative work is going to get to a point where it's going to be done by an AI or some type of machine.
I don't agree with that. I don't think so.
I see it,
and it takes a lot of energy to have those things work. It becomes a level of what do you call it? Capacity. And
it takes a lot of energy to keep raising kids and making more creatives.
Right. And you know, we you say that, but then again, we still can't, you know, cure half the cancers. We still have, you know, in this country, 110,000 people dying of drug overdoses. We still have rapes, murders. I know one of the things that's interesting, the President of the United States just had a executive order. And what they're talking about, which is really scary but interesting, is to program the cells. In other words, not
CRISPR?
Not AR.
Well, that's gene, gene editing.
But let me get back to this thing about where, you know, what you have alternatives in this country and in the world. You know, if you go back and look at what history, 4,000 years, and a really good individual to listen to is Victor Davis Hanson. He's written a lot of books, just came out with the one called Dying Citizen. And what we have in the United States, and to a certain degree Europe, is an experiment. It's never been done before. And especially in the United States, where else in the world do you have a representative government? Let me finish. Nowhere in the world do you have a constitutional republic with so many diverse people, where even though it's eroding, the who's sailing it, who runs the country, who where the power originates is in the individual person. India doesn't have that, even though it's the biggest democracy. Nowhere in the world do you have what you have here, and we're on a we're teeter tottering on losing it. And I think the world will go dark.
What we're looking at, and like I'm no fucking political scientist, and I've never taken the time.
This is not our politics show, though. But
here's the way I'm looking at it: is like I was saying, with all this automation coming down the pipeline, like we're looking at a situation where there's absolutely no precedent. Where like,
what do you mean?
We're gonna have to find ways to govern ourselves that have never even been thought of before, because there's a lot of change coming.
I don't think you know how much change is coming. I could see the...
You were just talking about slow down, editing down, that's going to change fundamentally, like, who we are as people and how we think and interact with each other.
All right. Well, I could tell you, I respectfully disagree with you. Can you imagine being... Say we had this thing going here where we had a conversation in 1905.
Yeah, it's different.
These guys are just starting this with this plane. You know, we never thought you could fly. There was no phones. There was no TV. There was no electricity.
And the leap we're going through right now.
It's the same thing.
It's like 50 times.
Right. But it doesn't matter. It's still a leap from such one, you know, area to the next. It's just a different leap. Yeah, who knows where we're going to be? But, you know, can you imagine?
He's looking at a glass half full, to be honest.
No, you missed my point. No,
it's not a bad... What you're saying is
unbelievable change. Yes, but we've had unbelievable change. Just like...
I'm not saying we're not capable of it. I'm saying we're going to have to get really creative in the way we...
We have to evolve. What we have to do is evolve into our technology.
Well, that's what I'm... That's the point I'm making.
That's where the danger is. But go back to this. When you talk about all of this, and again, I didn't want to get into politics, but when you look at... People say, oh my God, it's the end of the world. We've had... Wars. We have two of them. We had, you know, Civil War. We've had, I mean, Cold Genghis Khan. Wars. Go back and look at what in Europe when you had, you know, Genghis Khan or that guy was a real piece of shit, apparently. You know, really? You know, Alexander the Great. You know, go back to the Egyptians, the wars. I mean, you know, the Romans, you know, the Greeks and the wars with the, what's the one, 300, you know, the, what's
I keep it 300.
No, who's the Greek? Romans.
The Persians and the Greeks.
Yeah, what was the other one? The Trojans, you know, all of that.
Yeah,
and Sparta and all of that. So my point is that nothing's new. The technology is unbelievable. But let me tell you another thing.
Yeah, but these people weren't editing each other like the futures.
That's the thing. Like
we're making smarter, better people quicker.
We're making fundamental changes to what it means to be human. Yeah. If I can go and if you have whatever, some kind of predisposition towards cancer,
right.
and within the next 20 years, I can go in and just tweak a little.
What I'm saying is
that changes everything about how we even think about the world.
But the same ideas were out there during the 1930s. There was a thing in the United States and in Germany and Europe called eugenics.
Yeah. Hitler was trying to do.
Well, in the United States, we tried to do it, and you wanted to breed a super race. And in fact, in the United States, if you're born with deformity, you know, you try to breed it out. So now we just have better technology to try to do it. I don't think anything's new and exciting. I mean, the technology is really good. But I always tell you this, and this is when you say we're going to reach this point and, you know, AI and all that. Yeah, as long as we don't kill ourselves. We still have enough nuclear weapons pointed at each other right now. Think about it. What it is right now, I have a gun pointed at your head. You have a gun pointed at my head. And in the meantime, we're going to try to make, you know, robots. One false move and Einstein's, theory, but prophecy will come true. And he said I don't know how World War III is going to be fought, but World War IV is going to be fought with sticks and stones.
See, I'm just going to say Marx thought this was going to happen. We were going to point guns at each other and big bombs.
You know what's an interesting thought?
And what's going to be left? And then you start, and then you know what? Here's the thing, Sean.
Then
it starts all over again. It starts all over again.
Yeah,
do you think the
pyramids make use sound energy to talk to the stars?
Yeah. Listen, you go watch. There's a Star Trek. There's one star.
The pyramids were power plants.
If you want to see, no, they weren't. Yeah,
yeah, they were.
All right, listen, I gotta get going, but I'll leave you guys with this thought.
Let's go. Just put the one other. What other?
Before I got a good one. Seeger lifeguards just made a post about their staff. They have 74 guards on staff.
Seeger.
22 of them have 10 years or more of experience.
Damn.
12 of them have 20 or more experience. 9 have 30 years of or more experience. And 2 have 40 plus years of experience.
Shout out Timmy Harmon.
That is a tight knit group of dedicated people.
They run a good show up there.
They do.
And, you know, we got to get him back on the show. But anyway, we're getting off into politics
I got to split. But one more thought about the AI.
Let me have the stuff here.
Or do you want to just have Sean move over to the producer chair?
Yeah.
When we turn on the AI, I think the first thing it's going to do is just disarm all the missiles.
No, it's not. We have it. Listen, we have yogurt. You have AI right now. My point is that human nature has not evolved, and I know what you're talking about, and where it's going to go. The robotics are pretty impressive.
But no, and that's I'm making the same point. Like human nature has always remained the same.
Right.
We're at the first time ever in human history where human nature will be a it will be defined differently. Yeah.
That's why you guys got like
and we're not preparing for it.
You know, like Elon Musk. No, I swear, like he wants to go to Mars. You know, another place.
Imagine
know,
like the CRISPR and the Neuralink stuff. Just kind of like we get rid of all our tribalism. Like we just stop like just judging instantly.
Well, yeah, if I can read your thoughts and I can know every intention behind like.
But you don't want
to
play
like
God.
It's a depressing future to think about, though. Like, if we can communicate, like, telepathically, and I can know every little thing about you, like, where's the fun in life? Like,
So I'll leave you with this. Go watch the first set of Star Trek shows, okay? I'm not kidding around. And there's one there where...
You got to watch the Goonies, okay?
No, listen. They go to a planet where all is left of the civilization are these jars with, like their brains in there.
Futurama.
And they got to the point where, and they talked about it, they actually got through the point of where they didn't destroy themselves, and they got smarter and smarter, and they didn't have to use their bodies anymore, and then they were pure energy in their minds.
Yeah, that scares
me. And here's the thing. They longed for...
They're not going to be me anymore.
They longed for their bodies. But the moral story is they longed for their bodies, and they got to the point where they were so smart, so sophisticated that they destroyed each other. And, you know, I don't know. So that's another way to look at it.
Well,
you could do these thought experiments about where we're going to go. There's a Russian scientist, and he talks about different levels of civilization. You know, one, two, three, and four.
The Kardashev scale, I think
right.
It's
like
called.
We're like not even, you know.
We're not even one.
No.
I think I think one is when you...
I think we're
handle,
one.
One is where you handle, you could control your weather.
Something like that.
There'll be nobody ever die. We can control hurricanes.
One nuclear energy. The next step up is literally building a structure around the entire sun to harvest the energy.
Right. Or the whole universe. So my point is that you don't have any idea where we're going. But anyway.
Nobody does.
No, but listen, we got a long way to go. We're like ants crawling around. We still got a long way to go. We haven't evolved anything differently. But I can tell you right now. If we don't preserve Western civilization, especially the United States, we'll never get there. Because if we go revert to the way it was, you know, communism, it's just going to be fighting. You know, it doesn't present itself in that light. The Russians were pretty sharp, but you know, the Western civilization, especially the United States, breeds the ability. For people to think off grid and invent things. I mean, look at all the stuff that's been, you know, that has come around in the 21st century. It's all up the United States, pretty much.
Yeah,
it's not just white; it's black.
To make nuclear things.
Well, that was some of the Jews. Yeah, they were Nazis. So there was some, no doubt about it. But that was Western.
Western civilization.
Yeah, and a lot of it,
Einstein wasn't even that smart.
No, he was brilliant. I mean, go study his stuff. I mean, I can tell you. but I tell you, if you look at what was the basis of a lot of the people who flourished like this, it was the Judeo-Christian worth ethic, the morality. And I'm not so sure you could do that anywhere else. I mean, if you look at most. But anyway, let's get out of here. Go. You got to go. Come on, Sean. Let's talk about a little lifeguarding. And
Boo,
you don't want to talk about lifeguarding.
I get to leave for
today.
The boring part.
All right. We won't talk about lifeguarding. You got to come on my show. We talk about politics. I get it all keyed up.
We talk about politics on this show. Cash, you want to do the cash quiz?
Well, let him get out of here.
Let me sit in for the first couple questions.
All right, go ahead.
All right,
because I want to, I'm pretty tired myself too.
All right. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
What grants a higher longevity and happiness?
You're off the screen, so look.
More than money or sex.
Say it again.
What grants a higher longevity and happiness more than money or sex?
More than money or sex. Either it's not more than those things. I would say well, health, but I mean, I don't, I'm trying to think that. So money is an object, sex is an activity. I'm trying to, I mean, to me, the most important thing is family and friends.
Here we go.
You know, so I would say family, you know, marriage or.
Bing, bing, bing. Yeah. Marriage is disproportionately leads to higher happiness amongst people. Living a married life is associated with higher life satisfaction levels than being single, divorced, separated, or widowed, and grants higher happiness.
Well, I tell you this, though. The problem with marriage, it could lead to divorce. True. And if you ask me, what's the worst thing that detracts away from, you know, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness is divorce. So, you know, you go high, but you go low. So, you know, well, who used to say that? They go low, we go high, or
you take the high road, I'll take the low road.
So anyway, listen, marriage is a good thing, and it gives stability. It's you know, for family, for kids, and that's really when you talk about where we should be going. That's the most important thing: family and friends. There's nothing more important in life.
I really misjudged how far my soccer is.
Also, kissing one's partner every morning has been linked to an even higher indication of longevity.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you know, depends
if you're
on
listening,
where.
Sean and Tyler's
depends on where you kiss them. They
just
don't
read the second one. You don't have to read it.
Depends on where you kiss them, though.
I thought this was about pirates.
No.
Sean, why don't you go sit over here, Sean?
Sean put together a good quiz. Yeah, all right, yeah. Boys.
We'll do this, and then we could.
Viva lifeguards off duty.
All right, take care.
Keep them tight. Stay out. Stay alive.
Yeah, our Tyler's leaving today. He's got to go basketball. Take care, Tyler.
Ready for question two, Cash?
Yeah, go ahead. We're gonna keep on going. We'll go a little bit longer on the show today, so it'll be good.
The original translation of the word bride is a Proto-Germanic word, meaning what?
Well, I know if you're not married, they used to call them a spinster.
What is a spinster?
A spinster is a single woman. And when my first marriage was down in the Caribbean, and on the piece of paper, they called her a spinster.
I mean, it's accurate, I guess.
But a bride.
Proto-Germanic.
Bride. I think it sounds like bright, you know, a sunshine, something, you know, illuminated.
Gosh, I hope Virginia's listening.
What is it? Oh. Yeah. She's probably not. But.
The bride originates from the word cook.
Cook, really?
Like chef.
Ooh, that's what do you call it? What is it? Chauvinistic?
I know, but your answer was on par. You went with brightness for bride instead of cook?
Yeah, well, cook. I mean, you know, I mean, back in the day, one of the first, you know, religions were worshiped the woman because the woman was life. You know, without a woman, nothing else, everything ended. So a woman gave birth. So that was like some of the first... things that will worship the woman. So, you know, go ahead.
Question.
What's next one?
Question three. How many times a year do you think the average married couple does the deed?
Say that again. The average married couple
does the deed.
You know, that's hard because you got.
How many times per year? Per week or day?
Oh, per year.
Per year.
Well, you know, so it depends on how old, but I mean, I would say, let me just think.
Yeah, this is everything. It's like the 16-year-olds that are married.
Per year. Well, there's 52 weeks. I would say if I have to average it out, I'd probably say 50 times a year.
Yeah, that's good. 68.5.
Okay, there, you know.
So just like 1.2 probably.
Yeah. You figure the young and the old, you know, so. I mean, I tell you, this day and age, you know what happens a lot of times, and people don't realize this, you get married. And then you have kids, you know, and kids put a kibosh on everything, man. I mean, it's good to have kids, but you ain't, you know, you're not like
they're needy.
No, well, you don't have a lot of time. You're tired. You know, it's hard to do everything. And when you're young, it's good. And when you're old, the problem is you start to get, you know, your joints hurt you. although I got some of my patients who are, you know, they're pretty crazy. So
I want to preface, cause I don't think we said it. On air, that Cashmar is getting married this weekend.
Yeah, it's Saturday.
I think we just jumped into that. Cash is getting married right there on the whiteboard.
Here it is on a whiteboard. Yeah, the 24th at Spring Lake in Walden on the Park. Walden on the Pond. So it can be nice. Real nice. So what else do you have? How many more you got there?
Okay. Two more.
Go ahead.
All right. How much do you think the most expensive wedding cost?
Oh.
How much?
Within the world? Like the most?
The whole world ever.
Oh, I guarantee.
Give you a hint. It happened 40 years ago.
I would say, you know, it could easily have been $5 million.
Do you want to know?
Yeah, go ahead.
It was $44 million
Woo!
In Dubai.
$44 million Wow.
That oil money.
Wow. That's pretty tough to spend $44 million What the hell did they buy? What would they have on that one?
Yeah, what did they have? I mean, there's those big, there's the, is that that town or the city that is built on water? Is that around, or was that around the 80s?
Yeah, I don't know, $40 million Well, you know what? I mean, I've seen, I've been to weddings. I mean, I tell you what, the average wedding now is probably between $50,000 and $100,000
Yeah. But this one, this one probably had like Lambos driving each couple. Like,
but can you imagine right now? I mean, for like the average, I mean, it's $50,000 to $100,000 easy.
Yeah, and everyone expects it too.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, man. It's a lot of money for these kids, you know. Well, people give, you know, give, so you offset it. You know, people give money at the wedding, but still, I mean, I was at a wedding not too long ago. One of my good friends, his daughter, and oh my God, I mean, it had to be over $100,000 I mean, they had station after station. They had one station, it was seafood. I mean, it was lobster. And it was just ridiculous. I mean, it was, and it was probably about 300 people.
I went to a really nice wedding. It was actually the mansion that it took place in. Have you seen the show Outer Banks?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It took place in the where the show was filmed.
Yeah.
Funny enough, the show is called Outer Banks. It was filmed in South Carolina.
Yeah.
So just in Charleston, South Carolina. So nowhere near the
Outer Banks. Yeah.
Like 10 hours away.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in the Outer Banks, by the way. It's pretty nice there.
I was just there last week. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's a pretty neat place. But the yeah, getting, you know, marriage is I mean, the wedding is very expensive. So what else do you have? Give me another one. So go ahead.
I have like some tears off of this one that that'll fun. One, actually, we talked about movies. This is, so hint, it's a, it was an actress. Also, the most expensive wedding ring. How much do you think it cost? And then I'll segue.
The most expensive wedding ring. Well, again, you know, it's probably millions and millions. I mean, if you have a, I would say $2 million, $3 million Not even close.
8.8 million And it was, and you're gonna, you know who was given to? I think you know. Very famous actress. She played Cleopatra, starred in a movie called Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Yeah,
very famous actress.
Yeah, I know who played in it, Vimy Lynn, but that's not her.
Do you remember the Cleopatra movie?
It wasn't Elizabeth Taylor.
It was.
She was on
Virginia Woolf.
Hot Tin Roof. Wait. Oh, yeah, that's right. Hot Tin Roof. Okay. Yeah, she was in that movie. Right. Elizabeth Taylor. She was she played next to Paul Newman.
I haven't seen it either.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who the writer is, and I used to know it. And that's a great. I read the book. I watched the movie. And it's a really good one. He has a fractured ankle, and it's a whole thing.
They stuck on a hot tin roof?
No, but it's kind of like the movie's hot. It's like they're in down south, and it's warm, and there's a lot of things going on. The father's dying. It's a pretty good movie. That is a good movie. Who is the author? Right, see who they say who is the author
of Hot Tin Roof?
Yeah. I just want to throw that out there. That is a great. That's a great movie. Can't think of who the
Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Here it is, right here. Who's the author? Yeah, Elizabeth Taylor.
She played Maggie Pollitt.
Yeah. Who's the
who made the book or the movie?
Yeah, the book. The book. Who is it?
It's a three play.
Oh, Tennessee Williams.
No idea. That's it.
Yeah, Tennessee Williams. Yeah, he is unbelievable. I think he also did Streetcar Desire. Yeah, there is a Streetcar Desire 47. That's another great movie.
He did, oh no,
Death of a Salesman. Death of a Salesman, unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a great book.
You read that book probably in high
school. I read Death of a Salesman. Yeah.
And but the two ones here, Sweet Bird of Youth is good, but The Night of the Iguana. The two that I would really recommend people is the, Death of a Salesman. The Streetcar Named Desire, and of course the one we're talking about,
Cat and a Hot Tin Roof.
Yeah, oh man, what great, just unbelievable.
You got to watch The Goonies though, Cashmore.
Yeah, I will. So, what other questions you got for me? How am I doing?
I got one. I think you're doing pretty good. You didn't get Cook. You got Marriage. I'll give you that. So you got one. You got Elizabeth Taylor. So I'm gonna give you half a point. So you're at 1.5 right now.
Yeah, get this out of here. Yeah. So here.
Last question. The traditions of carrying, this is a mouthful, the traditions of carrying a bride across the threshold after the ceremony, the bride wearing a veil, a bride keeping a sugar cube in her dress, a flower girl throwing flowers down the aisle, and having bridesmaids dress similar to the bride are all intended to do what for the ceremony?
Intended to do what?
They're...
Well, I would think to focus on the bride, you know, and how special she is. A very sort of superstitious things.
It's superstition. Yeah. It's all superstition intended to bring good fortune and keep away evil spirits.
Yeah, yeah. I've been to a couple of Jewish weddings. I like when they put them on the chairs.
Yeah.
And you think, because everybody's been drinking now, okay, you know, and then they put them up on the chairs and they have the string or whatever. Of course, they put the glass and they skip it, but then they got the chairs and they're dancing all around and you're like, oh, and they almost fall a couple times, you know, especially when they're like.
Do they strap the bride in now?
No. Well, now, you know, if they got some, you know, girls, you know, if they're pretty, if they're
some big girls.
Chubby, big girls, that could be pretty dangerous. You got to go, if you have any Jewish friends, you got to go to a Jewish wedding. I mean, it's really a lot of fun and really great. I've been to all different kind of weddings, I was at an Irish wedding in a firehouse.
Okay.
And, you know, actually in the firehouse, you know, they. And there was actually a fire call that went on, but that was crazy. And you know, Polish, Italian weddings are, you know, there's all kinds of, you know. And you talk about I don't want to say tribalism, but you know, the
are you guys having Ava be the flower girl?
But she's gonna sing. She's gonna sing a song, so she's gonna sing a little bit. You know,
that's sick.
Yeah, yeah, she's.
Can you tell
good.
Me what song she's singing? Or the audience.
What's she gonna sing? She's gonna sing. Well, I suppose it's a surprise to me, but I think what's the one? Not holy, holy. What's the one? It'll come to me. I have to think about it because we were talking about five of them.
So is she gonna be the flower girl?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Is Virginia putting a sugar cube in her dress?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't.
She's wearing a veil.
Yeah, but I don't. You know. This is both our second marriages, so it's not like, you know.
Yeah, it's about the fun.
Yeah. I'm trying to think which one they picked. They didn't tell me yet, so I think it's going to be a surprise for me, so I don't really know.
The bridesmaids all wearing the same or a very similar outfit is a Chinese tradition intended to trick evil spirits into not knowing who the actual bride is.
I see. Well, that's pretty. Now, you know, it's funny. Now this new thing where they got, every time I've been to these weddings where they come running out, like they introduce the wedding party and they go, this is Brad. And they have to do some stupid dance. Yeah. Like, you know, it's kind of like, you know.
It's a little cheesy.
It's really cheesy. I think it's kind of dumb. I think it's embarrassing. I feel bad for the people because they try to do something. Some people, I guess, really, you know, get creative. So anyway, that's it with the questions.
That's all I got.
All right, so we're almost, you know, there. I know we had a short day today, and we were kind of like just threw this together. But anything else with lifeguarding you want to talk about or no?
That's all the news I picked up on the week.
Yeah, we had we'll just want to finish up. This is going to be another weekend, and it's going to be pretty rough ocean around here in our area. We had quite a few drownings. Well, I don't know, we had about 10 drownings, right?
Tyler commented at least twice. I don't know what he was referring to. I'm assuming it's some part of the quiz.
Oh, well, anyway, we just, we love our quizzes. Anyway, getting back to our lifeguarding stuff, we had a great season. We got one more weekend on the beach, and we're done. Obviously, I'm not working this weekend. We got a hurricane. What's the name of the hurricane off the coast?
It's Fiona.
Fiona. So we're going to get some ocean probably Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, maybe Monday, too. And it's going to be decent weather, so hopefully nobody drowns. But we've had a few this past week. And that's typical for our area, you know. It gets bad, and the lifeguards are gone, and then it gets a little bit crazy. But we've had a pretty good summer, you know, a pretty good run. So, and that's it. I've had a long week. I've been on call all week, so I'm kind of tired. We didn't really have time to prepare today. But we wanted to get a show out just to say hello to everybody. Yeah, so I'm getting married. Yeah, it's going to be good. I'll have all the lifeguards come in there, and that'll be good. And what else do we have? You guys had a banquet?
You could tell them that we're me and Tyler are rowing Virginia.
The boat, yeah, yeah. How about this, the other stuff too? I wanted to ask you because I just mentioned it. What about you guys had a banquet? How was that? That was because you posted on Facebook and everything.
We had a banquet. It was simple. We didn't really have like official awards. Just everyone hanging out. It was a nice place. Ocean on
where
ocean,
was it?
The Ocean Club or Bar in Park.
All right.
So it was nice.
Good. It was good. You got to have stuff like that. We used to have, you know, well, this summer we had a lobster bake. So we don't cook the lobster anymore. We have it catered, you know. And after Sandy, that kind of, we weren't allowed to build big fire pits. So we have it catered, and we have like a barbecue. And so Wednesday night we have fireworks. So it was really nice. And this summer was really good. And then we would usually have a banquet, an official one. We didn't have it this year either. And again, we kind of got away from it.
Yeah, we haven't had an official one in years.
And one of the problems, too, is the banquet used to be, you know, you have alcohol, you drink. The problem is a lot of the kids that we have lifeguarding now are 16, you know. I mean, 80% of the beach are not, you know, under 21. So you can't really have a venue with liquor. That doesn't where we stopped it, but it just became a real problem. And we used to also have Christmas parties every year. You know, really, really good Christmas parties, and they were great. And a lot of kids would come back and look forward to it. And we just had some big, big Christmas parties. So I don't know. You know, it's you talk about how things change, and I think a lot has to do with the young kids. You know, you're not gonna.
Everyone's younger now working.
Yeah,
I mean, except for Seagirt. Seagirt's got all those old heads still coming around.
Seagirt's are there's a lot of really good beaches. I mean, we're not. You know, we have a lot of what's it called, experience. But if you look at the beaches down south, Atlantic City, you know, Ventnor, Cape May, I mean, they have, you know, some of them are a lot bigger. I mean, I don't know how many lifeguards are in Atlantic City because there's like four big beaches. And, but, you know, Seagirt's a pretty sizable beach. You know, La Valette has a lot of experience. So I think we all have pretty good. I give credit to Tim Harmon up there. He runs a really, really good show.
Good tight ship.
Yeah. And every beach patrol, you know, gets better and worse. I mean, you know, I think Chicago Beach Patrols. I mean, I've been watching the stuff, the ones in Australia. I mean, there's some really solid quality people. One thing's for sure, though, the trend is that you have very, very, in a beach patrol, you have very, very young and very, very old, you know, and there's not a lot in between. If you have a beach patrol that you can have that people in between, that's a great mix. And, you know, we are trying to get some of our older guys, I mean, mid-range to come back. But it's hard. They have other responsibilities. Yeah. And also, they can make a lot of money other places. You know, the towns have to realize they got to pay if you want to have these people. And I think they are starting to realize. I mean, look at State Park. They pay $18.50 for starting, you know.
It's pretty good.
And commensurate with the officers. So it's coming up and up and up. So I think it's going to come around. But anyway, Sean, let's. What do you say we pack this in? I'm kind of tired today, and we did a great show. I think we get. You know, I'm gonna have to get you. You're gonna have to come on my show. We could talk about politics. Well, we can change this.
We can talk about all the politics. That's what happens on the lifeguard stand, Cashmore.
Yeah, I know. You just talk go about places. Lifeguards. I'm just. I wasn't prepared. I'll tell you what we'll do. Next time we'll talk about lifeguarding and politics. How does that sound?
All right.
And we'll give it a little heads up because we should be doing a little bit of that. We should be investigating the stuff that happens. Like there's a lot of stuff going down. In Chicago and also California, you know, with the high salaries and, you know, and there's always crazy
something
stuff
to look
going.
Into.
Yeah, yeah. But there's also election coming up, so it's going to get, you know, I'd like to, we could get, you know, political, what most lifeguards are they, you know, are they.
I bet it's really split with lifeguards.
Yeah, well, the younger kids, I don't know anymore. Our beach, it seems to be a lot of kids on our beach are quite conservative. You know, they're Christian. I mean, I see every, you know, probably three-quarters of our beach wear crosses, you know, crucifixion.
Yeah, I would say so.
And I think it's kind of, you know, but I don't know. I don't know. That's something we have to follow into. But anyway, why don't we say goodbye, because I am beat tired, man. I'm hanging on by threads. I was on call all week, and I've been operating all week long, and I just saw a ton of patients. And I am spent. So,
do you want to hit them with the salute?
Well, you could do that. I could get you to say. Listen, before you do that, just put my stuff up. Everybody out there who's on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, do us a favor. You know, we're on YouTube, we're on Rumble, and we're on Facebook. Please subscribe, like us. Also, send us an email on drcatchmar@icloud.com. Right, and then our Instagram.
LG.association on Instagram.
And, you know, I'm a doctor. I'm a board-certified reconstructive foot and ankle surgeon, and my webpage is jerseyshorefootandlegcenter.com. jerseyshorefootandlegcenter.com. You can check that out. Anyway.
Don't hesitate to reach out.
Yeah, and watch us. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that the season's over, so the beaches are unprotected.
Stay out and stay alive. Stay out and stay alive. And we're every Tuesday, keep on watching us, and hopefully we're going to continue to grow and get better content and more videos. And we just, you know, we just started this out, so we're, and this summer was rough.
Only getting better, people.
Yeah, we had a long, long summer. It was tough to do this. So anyway, take care of everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Stay out, stay alive.